Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Content Rookie, the first one in 2024. Honestly, I'm probably one that is the most surprised that this podcast still is going on. I know it's barely going on with the irregular episodes coming out, but, you know, life is busy, and I have not been able to prioritize it. And also, I have started writing a lot more again on Medium and some other channels, sharing my thoughts there. Writing is always a little bit faster for me than speaking or putting together an episode, or especially finding a guest and then organizing a time with them to record. So if you miss the Content Rookie updates, I totally recommend that you maybe follow me on Medium or LinkedIn and see what I'm writing there. I think some of that can be useful as well. But today's episode is actually based on one of the articles I recently published, which was called My Content Design Focus Areas for 2024. The reason I wrote this is that, so I became like an official content design lead only in the beginning of last year. And since then, I've had a really steep learning curve, which I've tried to accelerate by talking to other leaders, general design leaders, leaders outside of design, and of course also content design leads. And while having those conversations and doing my own research and reading content, I realized pretty quickly that being a content design lead is quite different from being another type of manager or another type of lead. Specifically because, again, I think, and I've been saying this for a long time now, that our field is shifting quite a bit in terms of the skills that are needed and in terms of how we can sell ourselves upwards to leadership. And a lot of that, in my opinion, is the job of the content design lead, but also because it's just in general a field that is always a little bit in flux and probably needs to adjust to change more quickly than others. And also the content design position, and specifically the content design lead position, can look very differently based on where and what company and in what industry you're working. So I think all of those things really made me reflect a lot on there's actually not that much content out there for content designers going into a leadership position, or in general for everyone working in a leadership position in content design, to kind of sync and understand what's going on, what other people are doing, learn from each other, exchange. Rachel McConnell, she does some great work with Tempo, which is focused a lot on leadership within our field. So I definitely recommend you check out her content and follow her. She posts a lot of good stuff. But yeah, I'm just adding a little bit of my own perspective and, of course, my own experience. And specifically, I always say this, my own bias opinions to all of this, because I think it can be useful. And I know a lot of you who have been following me for many, many years have also moved up in your careers and maybe gone from, you know, junior content designers to now senior, even principal content designers. Maybe you've even gone into a leadership position already. Maybe you're transitioning, or maybe you're considering it. And so I think this episode might be useful for you. I think it's in general also for anyone that is working outside of content design, maybe in a content marketing position or a content strategy position or just a design position. There may be some nice things in here for you as well. So I'm going to start digging in. What are my focus areas for content design this year? So just to reference back, during the last year, I grew the team. So now there's a couple of ICs in there. So I'm really focused on building out the discipline now in a way that makes it more scalable, that makes it attractive for other stakeholders to collaborate with content design, but that, of course, also shows impact. And fortunately or unfortunately, I've decided my first focus actually is going to be on AI. I know a lot of you are pretty tired of hearing about it. There's been a lot of fear-mongering around AI taking our jobs. While I don't necessarily subscribe to that, I do think AI is changing our jobs. And I think if we can get ahead of what's going on here and stay in control, and kind of specifically stay in control of the narrative around content design and how it works with AI, I think that can only benefit us. So that is one of my first focus areas. While I've been, you know, playing around with AI already for a good 2 years, I would say, I still haven't found a good way to incorporate it in the content design process. So that's something I really want to look at this year. So I'm going to be looking at things like, how can I write better prompts, but also how can I reuse prompts and make them accessible for other people to reuse? specifically non-writers to help scale the content design practice, then I definitely think we need to, as leaders, invest in building our team skills, writers, designers, translators, whoever we're working with, and their confidence in AI specifically. Because I think there's like two approaches to AI that I've seen in the people around me. Some people are really excited about it. They try it out on their own. They find ways to work with it. They use it regularly in their work. And some people just don't feel confident in it at all. They maybe have tried it out once and the turnout wasn't that great. And then they kind of just ignore it and they don't really want to deal with it. And they see it as a hassle to have to learn how to use AI. So I definitely think there's some confidence building that has to be done there, which I think I'm going to talk about trying to demonstrate how I've used AI and how I can use AI in the content design context. So we'll see how that goes. I'll keep you posted. I'm definitely looking into, and I think a lot of companies have already done this well, how to feed content design practice and guidelines into an AI, again, to make sure that it's scalable, maybe reduce some of those pings us content designers and UX writers get from people asking us to edit copy, to do like a final pass. I think AI can be really great at upholding some of that and reducing that kind of noise. And then I think a very tricky one, and one that we've been talking about a lot, is just quality control for anything that has been created by AI or created with the help of AI. Because I definitely have noticed while playing around more and more with it, it isn't always accurate. Not in terms of grammar, not in terms of facts, not in terms of a lot of things. So essentially, even if I can use AI to create copy that is in, for example, the right tone and voice, it might mess up some other things and create other kinds of inconsistency. So I think we really need to think about how can we effectively quality control what comes out of AI without that becoming then a bigger hassle than if we wouldn't have used AI in the first place. And of course, a note here to make is that the AIs are constantly developing, which I think is also the tricky part here, that we need to be adaptable to changes here, and something that works for us 1 month might not work for us a couple of months later because the AI has changed or developed. So it's a quite tricky focus area, but I think it's super, super interesting and definitely super valuable. And I'm trying to focus on it because I, again, think the more we understand how to work with AI in the content design and UX writing process, the more we can future-proof our careers and also own the narrative around how content design and AI can complement each other and not one replace the other. My second focus area is just the content design team setup. So I think teams have, in most companies, specifically outside of big tech, become a lot smaller over the last year or two. There's, again, a lot of content designers being the sole content designers in their company or in their teams, which of course changes the setup and it changes the way that we can do work. And I definitely think this is going to be here to stay, at least for the near future, maybe permanently. Again, depends on a lot of things. But I definitely think for us to survive and feel good while being content designers and UX writers, we really need to figure out how we can make impactful work with smaller teams or even as just sole specialists that are hired in. A couple of things that I'm looking at to help do that is I just want to make sure everyone in the team has clear responsibilities connected to clear impact and clear OKRs from the beginning. So not just you work with Team X and that's all of your stuff. I think that's too vague and it can be then very difficult to demonstrate the specific impact that content designer UX writer has had. So I want to make that more specific and spell that out more. So it's very, very clear where content design has made an effort and then also shown some success. Of course, in line with this, also planning out central tasks that are content design driven. I think that needs to be much clearer from the beginning before roadmaps are made to make it easy for those things to actually happen. And again, to show impact across several teams at once. In my experience, this has been very, very tricky in pretty much every company I've worked at, just because of who owns roadmaps and how many people want some space there. And usually if you come in as a content designer, you have a very quiet voice in the beginning. And I think ideally we need to speak up more here and make sure there is some space reserved for content design driven initiatives. Could be something basic like just updating the tone and voice, could be something like removing certain terms, cutting out emojis, all kinds of things here that would be difficult to do otherwise across several teams. I definitely think another point here is to just continue to over-communicate content design efforts and successes across the whole company. I think a lot of us content design leaders are great at doing this within the design team, but I think it needs to go beyond there. And I'm trying to make an effort here to talk more to, you know, not just other people in the product orgs, like engineers and PMs, but also people outside of that, really build a good relationship with, for example, marketing or editorial teams, because we can learn from each other. But also when they buy in to what content design can do, it's usually a great way to elevate the discipline. And of course, a very general one, try to support high impact project and processes as a priority. This is much easier said than done, because I know everyone wants a content designer to support their project, but to really keep that close link with the decision makers that assign priorities and be good at saying, hey, I can't support this project. Seems like it's a lower priority. I would prefer to focus on this higher priority project and put more effort and resources in there. And with that should also come clearer mandates, for example, in naming products or features, owning tone and voice, for example, across markets or even across localization. All of those things should be a priority, and that then also means that we maybe cannot cover other requests. And then lastly, one thing that I'm continuing to look into, I've been looking into this for quite a couple of months, and that is how to use tooling to scale. I know there's a lot of great tools out there that companies have used to scale content design, and I've actually worked with a couple of them, and I still haven't found my happy place or a tool where I feel like cost versus output versus how easy it is to implement and use versus adaption in the company really balances out well. So I'm still looking and still trying to figure this out. I do think tooling is a very essential part of scaling the content design and UX writing practice. But, you know, it takes a lot of effort to get a tool and to implement a tool and then for people to adapt it. So I really want to make sure I choose one here that has the right functionality for us and that we can realistically work with and get people excited about. My third focus area is something that I like to call delightful documentation. As most of you know, us content designers, UX writers, we're great at creating good documentation, a lot of documentation, and we're not very great at disseminating that because, you know, I mean, probably like every single company I've worked for over the past 12 years has struggled with distributing documentation and having people actually look at documentation. And when I was still younger, I always kind of just thought, man, like people, they really suck. Like they're too lazy. I've pinned this document 15 times. I've sent this document 20 times. They're still not looking at it. But now I'm older and I'm wiser, and I've realized it's probably mostly my fault, because creating documentation and then telling people about it, even if you do it repeatedly, I don't think is the right way to go. I think it's all about figuring out where does this documentation live, making very clear from the beginning, like this is what it's for, this is when you should use it. Write it very example driven. So don't just, you know, write about how you want people to use punctuation. Show examples, common examples that they're going to stumble across in their work, for example, for designers when they're going through flows. That really is key here. And then really figuring out, should the documentation live in the design system? If this is widely adapted, I think that's a great way to go. Should it live somewhere else, on a Confluence, on a Notion, on a Coda? If that's widely adapted, maybe that's the way to go. Or is it going to come in through an AI, through a plugin, anything like that? So really figure out, like, where should the documentation live? What should it stay? How can I make clear from the beginning who it's for and what it's going to be used for? And then another thing that, of course, we tend to do, and I have these conversations all the time with fellow content designers. Someone asks a question, we realize, hey, like, we can actually just add this to our documentation because this is a guideline, this is a standard we always want to follow. And then you add it to the documentation, and that happens over and over and over again. And after just a couple of months, your document is 20, 30 pages long, and no one's going to read that. No one's ever going to want to look at that document because it's just too long. So how can we pull it out? Maybe this means some standards we don't need to document in that way. Maybe we can get them across in another way. Maybe we can make them part of Figma components, for example, for error messages or empty states. Maybe we can pull some of the guidance together into a different format. So to really think about how can I get standards across that isn't just documentation, because it's going to get very long and people are going to not want to look at that. A lot of things here I recommend if you're interested in this topic. I wrote a little bit more specific things I'm going to start looking at in it. I'm going to link it in the info box. But yeah, I think figuring out documentation, how to get people to actually use it, want to use it, enjoy using it, how to have it in the right place at the right time. For me, that's a key thing I want to try to figure out this year that I feel like I haven't figured out over the last 12 years. And I'll let you know if I have any success here. Then my fourth focus area is all around how to drive content design-driven initiatives. I talked a little bit about it already in my second point, where it was about making sure we work on high-priority projects. But there's a lot of things that in most companies are owned by content design, but we lack a little bit of mandate to drive these things. Some examples are, you know, glossaries. Launching them, making sure the whole company knows about them and adapts them, and their terms are also updated in line with the glossary. Anything taxonomy related, usually information architecture related projects, things like naming conventions, ensuring any kind of change or adjustment to tone and voice is reflected in live copy, emojis, all of those things, when we're making changes to them or when we want to improve consistency, that's usually driven by content design and it needs to be done across several teams. And this is usually where the drama starts, because I felt that it's almost impossible to get teams to commit to those kind of changes outside of what they're focusing on right now, even if making these changes normally don't take a lot of time. So this is definitely something I still feel a strong need to figure out. I've tried a couple of different things here, building closer relationships with PMs, selling them on the impact these initiatives could have, building closer relationships with engineers and winning some allies that are willing to make those changes on top of their work. But I think there's maybe something here, something more central that I specifically as a lead can try to do and can try to own to make it easier for also the people, the other content designers, to drive initiatives on important things that will elevate the user experience without it being tied to a specific OKR project right now. So we somehow need to find a good process to make space for these kind of initiatives. And I haven't really figured out yet how to do that, but it's definitely something I'm eager to solve and something I want to look at this year. Some of the things I'm doing is to try to clarify efforts and timelines. Oftentimes when I bring up these initiatives, I get like an instant like, no, we don't have time for this. But then I'm going to try to demonstrate the possible benefits and also show that it's not going to take that much time if we, for example, update a couple of strings. So I think there is something here that can be done. And then lastly, my fifth focus area is, and you can tell that a little bit from this episode, but that's more related to me as a leader, because I really want to try to be the leader that I want to see. I think us content designers, and specifically content design leads, we're great at sharing our craft, what we're focusing on, best practices, all of those things. But I really have struggled finding content about, you know, what it even is like to be a content design lead. What are some of the things that a lead needs to focus on that are maybe not so related to the craft? And so that's definitely something I'm still learning and still developing, and I'm eager to share more of this because I think others can benefit from it, not just other leads, but also ICs trying to figure out, you know, how to manage up or what it is like to be responsible for selling content design within an organization towards leadership and so forth. How to make capacity planning happen in a really good way. Things like that. Maybe also thoughts on hiring the right people for the right positions and so forth. I think there's a lot here that I would have enjoyed finding more content about on the internet that I wasn't able to find. And also in conversations with other content design leads, I noticed we got really, really excited about some of these things, but we usually lack the time to write them down or to maybe share them. So I'm eager to do that and to be a quite transparent leader in this field to see if that can help others and also maybe motivate others to share more of their journey. So those are my five content design focus areas for this year. Of course, there's more stuff I want to do and I need to do related to, for example, localization, related to the craft in general. But I definitely wanted to kind of sit back, reflect, and see, like, what are those things that I really think are, like, key to future-proof content design, but also to be successful in this position that I currently have. So that was what I wanted to share in regards to this topic. I do want to say a few words. I'm still getting messages every day from people that are being laid off. Specifically, content designers still getting hit hard, both at big tech companies, but also at smaller tech companies where, you know, they oftentimes work really hard to establish themselves, and then all of that is taken away from them. And I can't say much. I know it sucks. You know, I've been through it myself. It's hard, and the rejection will probably weigh you down for a while. But I do want to remind all of you, it's not your fault. It's pretty much never related to any kind of performance or anything you did wrong. I think definitely the market will recover eventually, and there's no point in freaking out now. A lot of the questions I get are, should I even still work with content design? Should I even be in UX writing? What else can I do? What are my transferable skills? I can't answer that for you. I definitely think content design will exist. Will it exist at the scale that we have seen over the last couple of years? I don't think so. And I definitely think we have some learning to do. But I know that other people in the field feel very strongly about this not being the case, and that we will rebound. So, you know, I'm just one person with one experience and one opinion, and this is my view. I think it's good to reflect on what you've enjoyed about the job and then maybe highlight those things to try to find a job that you really, really enjoy when you start applying again. You know, I'm also a big fan of freelancing. I think if specifically me, it helped last year after being laid off to do a couple of smaller freelance projects to kind of find my foot again, to build up that confidence, but to also remind myself what I actually like and what kind of companies I want to work for. That really helped me find my next bigger position. And yeah, definitely huddle together, talk to others who are going through the same or have been through the same. I find that very comforting. And I think it's a good thing to do to kind of, you know, keep together and also remind yourself why you chose this job and this field in the first place and what you enjoy about it. And then, you know, I've published a lot of content, both on this podcast, but also in writing about my experience of being laid off and my journey since then. I'm happy to share more if you have specific questions. But yeah, I definitely want to say I'm very sorry and good luck. I definitely think you're all going to find new great jobs. And yeah, so that's it for today's episode of Content Rookie. Let me know if you have any questions or feedback. You know where you can find me. Everything's linked in the info box. And I hope you tune in again soon. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.